hunting for that magical genie with piles of cash? Join Candace and her guests as they uncover financial secrets, have a laugh at past mistakes, and savor financial rebounds. Thank you for listening. Let's dive in and do something today that your future self will thank you for.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Money Flow Genie podcast. I'm so excited to have here someone that I've been working with personally, Brandon Neely, and his wife, who is not currently on this podcast, but Brandon is here to represent. He is the CEO of the Wealth Wisdom Financial, a profit first and a bank on yourself professional. And let me tell you, this man knows his stuff. And I'm so excited to be here because it solidifies everything that I've been talking about up to this point on the podcast. He is a published author and a co-host of the Wealth Wisdom Financial podcast as well, which podcast I would definitely put in the show notes. You should listen to that. It's incredible information. In 2008 to 2018, Brandon and his wife, Amanda, they owned a coffee shop called Overflow Coffee, and they sold that to a nonprofit business. And now they are the co-owners of Wealth Wisdom Financial. This is amazing to have you on, Brandon. Thank you so much. I can't wait to dive in with you about everything that you have to offer our listeners.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Candace. Love working with you.
Thank you. Thank you. As you know, I mentioned before, we start off the podcast with the self-praise showcase, which is giving you and holding space for our listeners as well to be able to hold a space that you're really proud of yourself for. That we're not taught that in society. We're actually, it's kind of shaming if you boast about yourself. And so I want to change that. And I want to open the space up and hold something for you. And so that you can tell us about an accomplishment, big or small. The floor is yours.
Awesome. Well, let me start with a little bit of a story, backstory, if you will, because this accomplishment covers time, right? A little bit there. So when we started our first business, brick and mortar coffee shop, we wanted to change the world, make a difference in the world. However, here's the thing. We didn't have any rich relatives to give us a lot of money. When you're a business owner, sometimes it's good to have capital or somebody who has capital to help you. We just had the idea. And so we started into that business with the idea, and we thought we were on top of the world and it was going to change the world and do all this. We're idealistic entrepreneurs as we were. Started down that, and we had met my mentor, Mark, who helped us to create this, the bank in yourself policy for us. And I'd say it was a little over 10 years ago, maybe 11 years ago. Now what's cool is, again, that was 10 years ago when we started, when we had another business, we've been able to use our policies for multiple things. Now, what is really amazing in our background, and as we've built this, we now can use our life insurance policies to pay off any outside debt if we wanted to. We could do that right now. We have not, but Amanda told me that just recently that, you know, we could do this. And that's a huge accomplishment that I could effectively not work with any bank ever again if I want to. I might use it for a credit card or just the banking function, but as far as assets and all that. So that's a pretty big thing. And I've also used my policy for notes and other people's buying properties outside. So I've been in the bank for somebody else too.
Oh, that is like the whole premise of what I just recently recorded a podcast about, was like to start your own bank, be your own. That is fantastic. Oh my God. How does that feel? How does that feel when Amanda told you that, did you like, tell us about how that felt?
The amount of freedom that I have, that if something changes in the economy, like I have a really low interest mortgage, right? So I'm not going to do that. But I'm like, if it was high interest to be able to do that right now, that's amazing. And to be able to say, not only do I teach this concept, but I do it. It's like the hair club for men guy. I feel like that's us, you know, and it is changing. And then as I even use my policy, again, I'm borrowing from the insurance company and I'm taking a loan, a low interest loan, but I'm able to use that money to give it to somebody else who's doing fix and flips and make money. That's pretty awesome. Yeah, I think that feels awesome to say, oh, it actually does work. And all these naysayers on YouTube and TikTok say otherwise. But I'm like, well, here's what my story says. And you can't argue with what my own story and truth is that has happened.
Brandon, I have listened to very different mentorships, and there always is one or two that come in, and then in the platform, they'll bring a YouTube video that'll be like the no-sayer of something. And I listen to it for a second, and I'm like, these individuals have no idea how to use these policies. They have no idea what they're doing, and they're blasting this misinformation out there and really doing a disservice because I can tell you just for myself, I have purchased real estate. I hold notes. There's all sorts of things. It's called bank on yourself. It's all about becoming the bank. And it doesn't mean having your money sitting in a bank. What does a bank do? All it does is takes other people's money and it reinvests. And then there's a spread, the arbitrage between, how much interest you're paying. So the bank would be paying customers a small interest as we see right now. And then, but they lend it out much higher. So they always have a positive cash flow on that. And it's business. It's just another form of doing business, but it's in your own roof, like with your own rules. So yeah, let's just dive into all of this. What are your thoughts? Like when you learned about the bank on yourself concept, and the whole life cash policies, tell me about like what your initial thought was around it and how long did it take you to really understand how they really worked.
I would say I'm always learning. The founder of Infinite Banking, Nelson Nash, that's this book here. He said, if you have the arrival syndrome that I've figured it out, then you've messed up, right? And so I've never arrived. I'm still always learning. I can always be learning. But what really got me was again 11 years ago. I was watching this documentary called Banking with Life, and we were doing everything right. We read the books. We did, Amanda, she took notes on the Susie Orman book, right? And made sure I did everything right. But we weren't getting ahead. And so what we learned is, and here's the thing. At the same time, I'm running this coffee shop, and Visa, MasterCard, all these people, including the tax man, were getting a lot of money. They never showed up to work. And I'm like, why are these people making all this money off of my efforts and I'm not? This is stupid. And so that was part of my pain in saying, okay, how come this is happening? And then I came across this documentary, my mentor Mark, that helped us implement. And our biggest risk is us, our biggest investment is us. I should want to protect that. So this is what life insurance, in essence, is. You are protecting your greatest asset, you. That's fundamentally what insurance is, right? To protect an asset. You are the greatest asset. And you want to protect that cash machine. But if I can use that almost like a house, we love this in the world of real estate, is the home equity line of credit. We borrow against our house all the time and we have no problem. Just use the equity. You hear videos on that. The only difference for me is, guess what? I'm the house. And no one's going to come after me and say, you don't have a job right now. So you can't pull out the equity of your house, even though you have it. All of those kind of things aren't there with the life insurance policy that I can borrow against that. And again, it's from the insurance company as I'm borrowing the cash as collateral, right? But if I passed away with this loan, well, guess what? They subtract that and she gets the difference tax-free. Those things really were things that shifted for me in that movie. And then we said, we need to talk to Mark, set up our policies. And then as we sold the business, we were like, what do you do with life? So I applied to work with him. And Amanda's 6 or 7 months pregnant at the time. We're going to sell the business. She's like, go get a job. I'm like, I'm not employable. I don't know how to work for anybody else. But she's like, well, you need to because no one's going to hire me. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go get a W-2 job or I don't know, something. So I applied, didn't get the job. Then he comes back to me a few months later and says, I have an idea. How about you and your wife start your own agency and I'll train you? And so we ended up in this industry, not knowing that a lot of people have a lot of opinions. All I know is this function changed my life. And so I'm like, hey, I just want to help more people.
Oh, I love that. And I love how the universe provides, and you didn't get that job, so that you are where you are today. I mean, think about it. I've known you all since you pretty much has kind of started and been working with you for a while. And one thing that I totally love is watching other people grow. And man, your business has really taken off. You have, employees working for you now, and you have it together. And the wonderful thing about working with you is that you genuinely are doing this to work with other people to watch them grow as well. And that it's so it's working with you is really a pleasant experience because you get just as excited about someone moving forward and making a slight change in their life. Just even getting one of these policies is such a strong move in the right direction. And you also say, hey, you know what? You're not qualified to have one of these policies yet. Do this first before that, instead of just trying to sell, and not look at the big picture for someone. And I think that's a really a wonderful thing because the way that you get paid is through the insurance companies and their actual systems that you have worked out with them, not from the actual individual coming to you. I mean, it's through their policy, but it's like not direct out of pocket, say if I came to you at first. So that is just incredible. I totally love that. So now one thing that's really changed, and I've been in business for 33, it'll be 33 years. I can't believe I say that out loud, in my landscaping business. And for everything that I learned in landscaping, I don't even know if Junior Achievement is still around. I hope it is. It's actually, that's what allowed me to feel confident enough and to be able to move forward in starting my own business. I've always been an entrepreneur. Since the age of 11, I was mowing lawns. So it was like really easy for me to roll into this and growing up on a farm. And I also love the work. It's not just, I just did it by default. Yet the business aspect of it, the financials and thinking about and the planning, you grow up on a farm, you're not taught that. You're taught how to weed, you're taught how to feed the cattle, you're taught all these other things that are survival moments. But when it comes to running a business, I didn't learn that, and I was all self-taught, and then discovered Profit First. And that was a game changer. So, do you want to explain that a little bit and how that came into your life and how you've implemented it? And now you're actually Profit First professionals.
It goes back to the coffee shop days, right? We were last to get paid. People would come back and say, but you love it, right? That's why you do it. And I'm like, yes, I love it, but I still like to eat real food and those kind of things. And so what Profit First does is it flips it. Like, so if we go into Wall Street, we want a return. Right. That's why we go into that kind of stuff, right? We want to have a spread. We want our money to be growing, right? However, when we go into our own business, we say, we don't, that'll come later. I'm like, well, no, we want that in our financial world when we do investing. Why wouldn't we build that into our DNA within a business right from the get-go? And so what Mike does is he says, all right, well, it's a psychology thing, is okay, instead of having one giant plate of food, right? That's how it works in typical business model, is we put everything into this bank account and we just eat. And then we say, oh, well, I thought I had it, but I don't have it. So basically what it does is the envelope system, except for businesses. And then you have five different accounts. First, your profit account. Most businesses, I would say, are not profitable. So we need to be able to measure that and track, right? So you have profit, then you have owner's pay, operation expenses, and taxes. And then you have the big fund, right? The big general account that it goes into. So you build those five accounts and then you separate them. So then, instead of running a business that's 110% OPEX and you're never getting paid, you work in percentages. Never set a dollar amount, but I built certain percentages that help me to make sure I run a lean, profitable business. Because a lot of business owners, I would say they're running around, they have a glorified job or worse. And we want to have a business that thrives because, in the end, why did we go into business? Financial freedom, typically. And so, if we don't, aren't measuring that, and at the same time, not everybody's a CFO, right? We're not numbers people. We know how to make widgets or do lawns, right? But if I do percentage wise, a dollar comes in, I do the division right there, and that's it. That's an easy way to go. So I love the profit first system because it's easy dashboards. I am not a bookkeeper. I'm more of the hands, like Amanda does the back end of a lot of that stuff, which you need, the Spock kind of stuff. For me, I want to know if we're green or red, right? If we're red, that's a problem. If we're green. And so most business owners are like me. Right. And so we need to have a system or integrate other things like EOS or other things that help us. Again, I think sometimes we end up, how do I say, going after Hail Marys and we buy products, or we buy this or that. And then our business gets fat and we wonder why it didn't work because we still have this subscription to something that we didn't even use once to grow the business that we forgot about. Like those kind of things are really important. And so profit first just helps me run a lean business. And then you integrate it with banking yourself, our still method, those kind of things, because then you now are telling your money what to do instead of it telling you what it wants to do.
Oh, I love that. And it's so true. One of the things that I think about reflecting back now, well, first of all, it took a little bit of discipline to be able to remember, instead of just like throwing the money in that bank account, paying the bills, and then going, ah, oh, where's the money for me? Where is it? You know, like going back and forth with that. Realizing and going through with a profit first professional through a whole training, it's all about anybody can set up these envelopes. Anybody can set up these particular bank accounts. It's a very simple process. It is very simple. Try implementing it. If you haven't been doing this for, it's habitual. You have to change the way that you think and the first thing you do. And the first thing you do is the first account that you put that money in is your profit account. And I don't even think twice. It's like money comes in, put it in my spreadsheet that just does all the delineations of the percentages. I don't have to think. It's almost the only thing that's not automated is me moving the mouse and clicking and going to my bank account and shifting the funds from one account to the other. And now, what I tell you before you open up the bank account and it's like, okay, where are we now? What do I need to do? How am I going to do this? Where is this money coming from? Now it's like, oh, there it is. And even this is one of the things that I also found that was really helpful. So I have this money, say, sitting in my supplies account, and I get hit with an outstanding bill that I totally spaced out on, or an extra tax penalty because I was late for something, you know, which is happens, you know, for many business owners. So it's like, oh, right, I've got to pay for that. You're able to borrow from you somewhere you have money sitting in case you get hit with something else, which is that's such a relief. It's such a relief.
So I got to tell you, this was crazy. We didn't know this. So we have state tax, federal tax, but then we didn't weren't fa filing something within the city. And we didn't do it for 4 years because we didn't know about it. And my accountant came with us from Illinois, so he didn't know. And so we got hit with something on city back taxes on something. I didn't even know that was a thing. And so then we had the money because we had already put that in our tax hold account. We were like, this is all right. Now, I don't like paying taxes to anybody if I don't have to, but I at least had it, right? Because of the system. Now, in the world of this. I didn't even know there was state and federal, all that stuff. Didn't know that there was a whole city thing that we were supposed to do or paperwork or I don't know, whatever. No one told us.
Yeah, no one tells. You have to find these things out, and usually by having something arrive in the mail. And
Yeah,
it's not,
that's what happened.
and it always unfortunately happens, like you said, not 2 months you've been in business here, it's years. So then it's accumulated all the penalties and interest and all of that, that you're just like, oh my gosh, that could have gone to a down payment.
Right? It was nuts. But like, oh, all right, whatever.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I have learned, and I will repeat here again, is that, for instance, this is what happened to me when I got all into this whole process of the Money Flow Genie podcast, was my discovering how little I knew, but I didn't have the smart questions to ask or surround myself with the right people in order to really eliminate a lot of things, be able to use my dollar as many times as I possibly could before I paid a bill. And also realizing that you can, when you're talking to like the tax people, sometimes you don't have to have proof of something. Sometimes all you have to do is just say, is there any way to get some of this penalty or interest removed if I pay a lump sum? And that's what happened to me when I had back child support payments. Unfortunately, it was the very last payment that I needed to make. And when I asked the question just a certain way, I had somebody that was on the other end that was very experienced and said, "Well, you can ask for your penalties and interest to be removed if you're paying a lump sum." And I just paused and I'm like, "Okay, so 13 years, no one told me this?" Because every now and then I would be behind just because of cash flow. And then she expressed to me that she said, "Yeah, I was unfortunate that this guy just before you on the call owed $40,000 in back child support, and he had to pay his penalties and interest." And I cringe because that would have been a small house in the Midwest, you
And
know?
I think that's why having a good team, like for me, I'm a safe money guy, understanding profit first and the banking yourself infinite banking system. Like those things are what we specialize in. I'm not a tax guy. I don't specialize in city taxes. And so that was something that I'm like, oh, all right, that's good, but I understand cash flow. And so that's interesting. Also, as we've been understanding and doing this system, we put in for our policies, using the profit first system, we save for our taxes into a life insurance policy. And then we use that as our line of credit to pay our taxes. We do that regularly. And so my accountant just the other day is like, I see you doing this and going back. It seems like it's going back and forth. It's the same numbers. What are you doing? I was like, well, you've known us for years. You know exactly what we're doing as we're putting it into life insurance. That's going to have income for us in the future. We're just capturing it before it goes to the IRS. And he's like, well, I always forget how smart you guys are. Anyway, it's kind of fun when you even blow your tax guy's mind a little bit.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. I call that expense to wealth. You know, before where I now that, you know, I've got the policies up and running and really understanding how they work, and now that I am really watching the money using the profit first, like where's the cash going before I pay my bills? And it is amazing. And I'll just first starting out with 1% and then adding more and more. Percentage, you don't realize. You think, you know, people say, oh, you can put, you know, $10 away a month. Well, you can, and you don't realize that starts to compound. And it's really incredible when people say, ah, it's not worth it. It's only 1% to start off with. Listen, it adds up. And before you know it, you're like, hey, you know what? I can skim more off. I can do more profit. I can do more profit. And it will increase significantly. And therefore, I'm able to just use that profit and do exactly the same thing that you all are doing, is starting to pay the premiums on my policies. It's just incredible. And doing the expense to wealth, getting to a point where I've built them up enough that I can do. The last couple of months, I started to do my mortgage. I was organized enough, I have to say, because you have to be organized for this, to be able to do my mortgage and my truck payment, which unfortunately are the same. And but that's a significant amount of money that was just going out of my pocket and not being recaptured. And I'm able to recapture it in one of these policies. And it is, I'm seeing this as like, wow, this is going to be quite the life changer. And then I will be able to say in my showcase moment that I will be in a position, I'm not there yet, but I will be in a position like you just shared, where you could potentially pay off all of your debt. That's a goal of mine. And that is, wow, the sense, the peace of mind that you would get from that, you know.
Well, and another thing I learned, this is just interesting on because of being in the financial world, we learn about escrow, I learn about mortgages. I'm not a mortgage guy, however, I know a lot about them. But escrow, for example, everybody buys a house and then they just set up an escrow account because that's what they're told to do. And so when we first bought our home, we bought it March 13th, 2020. I don't know if you remember that day, but that was the day the world shut down and we're closing on a house. And I had a cold and closing papers. Anyway, it's crazy. But as I'm going in, we were wanting to do our own escrow. We were going to pay our own taxes. And even the mortgage guy's like, "What? You can't do that. It's just part of the thing." And so what we learned is by us doing our own escrow, meaning escrow is the tax hold account, right? For if you guys don't know it, but it is that hold account that they you prepay your property taxes basically, right? So my closing costs dropped by about $2,000 because they didn't have the escrow setup fee just on that alone. And then as we're doing it, we're capturing that money, putting it into policy, and then we pay our taxes versus them getting a 0% loan, like they say in the taxes where you get a refund and they're like, "Oh, I got a refund." I'm like, "No, you just gave them money and they're giving you money back." And people are excited because they end up using that loan or the tax refund to pay off the credit cards. I'm like, "Well, you could have just made sure you weren't getting all of that and not have a credit card bill." But you know, it's kind of knowing some of those things, which they don't teach you because why would they?
And the mortgage interest payments. A lot of people don't understand that. What is it? EMI. Yeah. A lot of people don't understand that after a certain, the first time you ever get a home and you don't have history, they require you to get it. And that's just insurance that you're going to be paying the loan. But after, I think it might be a year, it could be less. I'm not, don't hold me to that. But you can ask for that to be removed. You don't have to pay that for the duration of that particular mortgage. So a lot of people don't know that. They think they're supposed to do that all the time. And there's, and like you said, the whole concept of the escrow, the insurance as well. You can do your insurance on your home, and that's compounding over time. Think about most people live in their homes for at least 8 years. 8 years of that amount of payment, that's a significant amount of money that could be rolling and working for you instead of coming and being gone that you never can utilize again.
Well, and then with the policy, when we first bought our house, we did 20% down because if you do 20% down, you have no PMI. So we did 20% down, not more or less at that point in time. It might have changed because of 5 years. But then we didn't have to pay PMI. What is PMI? It's insurance that they require you to have to make sure they're made whole.
I know, which isn't that like
Right?
chewing on glass, isn't it?
Right. But I'm like, but yet we don't like insurance. I'm like, okay, so they're requiring us to do it. They're requiring escrow. They're requiring all these things to make sure they are solvent or are good. Right. However, we think it's a bad idea. And I'm like, well, maybe we should take a note from them and figure out, not a bank note, but notes to then say, okay, what are they doing? How do I mimic what they're doing?
Yes. And if we mimic what banks are doing, our lives financially be completely different. We're not taught that. We're taught to be consumers. I mean, if you look at the TV, you're constantly being inundated. Either you're going to get sick and you have to have something, or you're going to be, you got to buy this because you're going to be happy. If you have this, is going to change your life. You're going to look like this. And I don't know about most of you all, it's exciting to buy a new vehicle. I needed to have a new truck for sure because the other one was just like failing. It was great picking it out, the whole adrenaline rush, you know, unfortunate when you're signing the
Yeah,
paperwork,
right.
you're just like, oh gosh, I can't believe how much the vehicles have gone up since the last time I bought one. But in, you know, every month it's like, I don't want to pay this, but I have to, but I have to do
Yeah.
it. But I'm so happy to have been able to be at a position where I can recapture that and do other strategies with it because I have a business, you know, I can. So now you all have started, you co-authored a book. Is the book called The Still Method? I want to get the title
It
right.
is called Five Smooth Stones.
Five,
We'll
okay.
probably redo it one day. We made it where we wanted it to be not where if you're it's a journal, interactive money journal, and we didn't want to have financial on the top. Or make it where people would, if you're in a coffee shop, that you would be able to see and steal it from them. That's Amanda's idea. But Five Smooth Stones, it actually came out of David and Goliath, funny enough. And David in the Old Testament of the Bible was given five stones to beat Goliath. He used one. And what we believe our Goliath is chaos. It's confusion, haphazard, anxious, overwhelming, and stressfulness. Right, chaos. And what we need to do, and this is simple, you don't even need the book for this, but I would recommend buying it, of course, and using it. But we need to have what we call the still method. And it's not about, it's like profit first. You figure out your buckets, right? But you need to set your sights, know where the heck you want to go. Most people don't. They're sleepwalking through life. Track your in and out. It doesn't have to be like granular, but at least a big idea. Track your in and out. Inspect your progress, look for 1% adjustments, and live deliberately. And if you do that, you will see a change, whether it's in your finances, in your business, with your kids. But it set your sights, track, inspect, look for 1%, and live deliberately. These are not rocket science, but we think, and this is why we created it. So I've done so many financial analysis, and I ask, what's your goals? And they're like, that's a great question. I'm like, it shouldn't be a great question, but okay, whatever. So you have to ask, right? Candace needs to know her goals, not Brandon knowing what Candace's goals are to push her to do her goals, right?
Oh, I love that. It makes total sense when you think about, and you hear this analogy all the time. If a plane is flying from, you know, New York all the way to Los Angeles, they set the computer, and most of it's all autopilot, and but the computer is constantly monitoring, and it's just doing tiny little adjustments. Just like when you drive a car, you don't just hold the wheel straight. Even a bicycle, if you don't know how to drive a car, it's just, you always are moving just a tiny little bit. And that is exactly what happens when you start thinking about your financial future and making plans. And they don't have to be huge. And you don't have to see this like in 1 year, I will be here kind of thing. A lot of times we get overwhelmed with our resolutions, so to speak, that people set up for themselves because it's great to dream big, but then you got to come back and break it down into increments, smaller, achievable goals to keep the momentum, to keep the enthusiasm. And always, I love the fact that you're just like looking at your progress because if you don't compare yourself to yourself, you'll look at outsized circumstances. And for instance, I see a lot of people in particular, and one of the reasons why I wanted to have this particular type of a podcast is that people are really great about showing where they are. And look at me, I'm now on this balcony with this wonderful tropical garden and I'm financially free, blah, blah, blah. But where were you and how long did it take you to get there? You don't see that. You don't see people dropping and falling. And it's like, yeah, it doesn't bother me so much now to say, yeah, I've been in the past, I feel shameful for being behind in my child support payments. But hey, it happens to everybody. Do you hear people say things that they've been struggling with and how they got through? No, you see the pretty picture and the big fancy car. Now, if that's your goal, that's great. But in the meantime, once you get those things, then what? Who are you beyond that? And what do you need and what do you want to accomplish? And one of the things that I really admire about both of you is that you have intention with your goals as you move forward and helping others as well. And you know, this book in particular, the journal, that'll impact a lot of people's lives, definitely.
We definitely would rewrite it a little different, make it because it's Amanda was like, oh, I want to make it where it's like really thick paper. And people are like, yeah, but I don't want to write in it. I'm like, it's the point is to write in it. We wanted to elevate you. And so that was it's the first pass at it. And we're like, at least we're now published authors. That's awesome. But it was a labor of love and just seeing, okay, what would I put out there? Because the financial world is, there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of noise on TikTok and YouTube and people showing their flashy cars. But a lot of times, and this is the hard part, we're told by Wall Street, we're told by everybody else, oh, if you just do this tactic or this, it'll be easy. And honestly, I don't think there's an easy button. When you find it, let me know. But I don't think there is one. It is just doing the one step in front of the other and saying, hey, there's a hole right here. And as I'm a guide in this, I know some of the pitfalls that I've experienced. And I can tell people, hey, here's this hole. And then I can help my son. And that's why I wrote it, is he's going to be standing on the shoulder of us, right? Hope we're not giants, but maybe one day. And I think that's my hope as we go through this. Would have picked an easier career, definitely. Life insurance, selling life insurance. Already people think you're a snake oil salesman or all this other stuff. I'm like, this is just, it impacted us and we're going to help others.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. It's so amazing. Well, Brandon, we are running out of time. Is there anything else that you wanted to share about what you have to offer our listeners? Tell us about how to get in touch with you and any other topic that you wanted to touch on before we end.
The main thing I want to let people know is if you don't have a plan for your money, someone else does. Everybody has a plan for your money. Watch TV for 5 minutes and you'll see. Your kids have a plan for your money. My son told me just the other day, he's like, if we go to this thing, movies, how about you bring your money and you can buy us all snacks? He's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I said, why? He's like, because you have money and I want to keep mine. I was like, well, but you were going to a movies because you want to go. He's like, yeah, but anyway, and this is the argument of a 6-year-old. He knows how money works a little bit. And so knowing this and so understanding, talk to somebody like myself or somebody who's there before you and ask them. But the thing I want to let people know is do not give up the goals and control just to somebody else. Maintain control of your own destiny and future. Don't be sleepwalking, is what I like to think through. And a lot of people are sleepwalking and saying, this president or this person or that person will solve it. That's not going to happen. And so do that. And then also go to wealthwisdomfp.com. We have a podcast, YouTube, buy the book at wealthwisdomfp.com/shop if you want to do that.
Oh, thank you. That is just magnificent advice you're giving. One thing that I notice with a lot of people when you start to talk with them about finances is, and I have to say, I have experience and the honor of working with some really amazing people. People that have more money than most people would know what to do with, tremendous amount of wealth. And I have learned over the course of time that everybody has a budget. Doesn't matter how much money you have, and everybody has the same problems. As we get bigger, our problems might get not bigger, just more complex. But your money is going to bring opportunity, it's going to bring peace of mind. It's not going to bring happiness. I've seen people that just they don't have that much money, but they're just as happy as can be. It's an inside job. But to glaze over, like you're saying, and just not look at it, that's just only going to bring you further and continue to dig a hole to go nowhere. And I love your method of with the stones because it doesn't talk about finances. Because just the word finances, people will glaze over and just want to retreat. And it doesn't have to be taboo. You can do it no matter who you are. You just have to think of it and look at it a little bit differently. And most of it just has to be with what we've been taught or what we've been exposed to. And then, oh, there's another way to do it and surround yourself with people like yourself to be able to learn how to do something different because you don't have to do it alone.
And it's a tool. Money is just a tool. If we don't use it, someone else will. And I love that, most of what we do, even as a family, I do scouts with my son. We'll go camping this weekend, hopefully. And I'm like, that didn't cost anything, right? And I think that's a powerful thing.
Yeah, that is awesome. Well, thank you so much, Brandon. I appreciate you coming on the show. And we'll have everything in the show notes. And I just want to say to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us today. And I also want to remind you that you are your own genie in a bottle. So please continue to listen and follow us on YouTube and also in any place that you listen to your podcast. And be sure to reach out to Brandon and Amanda because they have phenomenal information and continuous education for you, free resources out there. So I thank you so much. And again, thank you, Brandon, for so much joining.
Thank you for having me, Candace.
All right. Thank you.
The info in this podcast is straight from our personal experiences. You alone possess the power to manifest your desires. You are the genie in the bottle, awaiting your command. So ask smart questions. We're not licensed financial pros, so be sure to consult with a licensed professional, attorney, or tax consultant.